Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. This is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John this evening. You want breaking news and more, no matter where you are? Follow KNSS with one quick click. Go to KNSS/follow for a link to follow us. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. A Kansas Senate committee recently tabled a marijuana legalization bill for the second year in a row. Since then, even those who support legalization have acknowledged senators did the right thing. Proponents characterize the bill as highly restrictive, conservative, and medically centric. Opponents, however, characterized it as dangerously broad, monopolistic, and unprecedented, with a terrible and certain outcome. On the overall issue of legalizing marijuana is Tony Mativi. Director Mativi served as a federal prosecutor for over 20 years, prosecuting drug trafficking, violent crime, racketeering, organized crime, gangs, money laundering, and terrorism cases. Mativi was the lead prosecutor for the capital case against the Al-Qaeda operative who masterminded the bombing of the USS Cole in 2000. He also worked for the U.S. Department of Justice's Regime Crisis Liaison Office in Iraq, advising the Iraqi High Tribunal as they tried members of Saddam Hussein's regime for committing war crimes. Last year, he was appointed by Attorney General Chris Kobach to serve as director of the KBI. One of my favorite guys in this state, Director Tony Mativi, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, Ryan, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Director, in a recent op-ed here in the Wichita Eagle, you wrote, "We need not look further than what has happened in other states to conclude that legalizing marijuana for any purpose is detrimental to Kansas." Can you elaborate for us?
Sure. I mean, when you look around the country at what has happened in every single state that has legalized marijuana, you see a consistent theme. The crime rate goes up and not down. The black market increases instead of decreases. You see worse outcomes in school testing for students. You see higher rates of opioid addiction and opioid overdoses. And we are, I believe, beginning to see some states have what I would call buyer's remorse. You know, a lot of people have characterized the legalization of cannabis as inevitable. I reject that. I don't view it that way. In Oregon, for example, the first state to legalize drugs, they just declared a state of emergency in Oregon because of the number of fentanyl overdoses and fentanyl deaths. In Oklahoma, where they legalized medicinal cannabis, they refuse to legalize recreational cannabis. It's the first state where that's ever happened, right? In every state where we have recreational cannabis, it started as medicinal and then transitioned to recreational. In Oklahoma, their experience with medicinal marijuana was so bad that they have refused to legalize recreational marijuana. I think, Ryan, I think we're starting to see the tide turn here. And I think we've stood on the beach and we've kept our feet out of the water for just long enough. Now we're starting to see that tide go back out. And I hope that a few years from now, folks are going to look at Kansas and admire us for having held off the decision to legalize.
Yeah. You mentioned Oklahoma, Tony. Medical marijuana is legal in Oklahoma. That's one of 16 states that have authorized medical marijuana programs. 24 states have legalized marijuana for recreational use, and our neighbors Colorado and Missouri are on that list. In that same article, the Wichita Eagle, you stated that states that have legalized marijuana, even for medical purposes, have inadvertently invited organized criminal enterprises into their communities. How so?
Well, it's not a secret that Chinese organized crime has really sort of taken over the marijuana industry. And when I talk to my counterparts down in Oklahoma at the Oklahoma State Bureau of Narcotics, they tell me that the last four wiretap investigations they've done on marijuana grow operations, three of those four have been wiretaps in Chinese dialects. We know that the Chinese are involved in trafficking human beings to provide workers at those marijuana farms. We know that they're involved in providing human beings as sex workers to folks working in the marijuana farms. We know that they're laundering the profits, not just of the marijuana proceeds, but they've taken over laundering all of the proceeds from fentanyl trafficking as well. And it's interesting to me that the folks who are advocating for legalization in Kansas have said, well, in those other states, they don't have the rules in place to keep organized crime out. Ryan, that boggles my mind that people would look at it in that way, because what they're saying is, well, if there are more rules or more laws, the criminals won't come in. Well, here's the thing about criminals. They don't follow the rules, yeah, and they don't follow the law. So it doesn't matter what restrictions we write when we try to legalize marijuana. Criminals are just going to find a way to work around that. Yeah. And we have seen very consistently organized crime, particularly Chinese organized crime, get involved when states legalize marijuana. Yeah. Legalization really is just an open invitation for organized criminal activity in your state, particularly by the Chinese.
Very interesting. You know, those that are proponents of legalization, many times they'll have one reason for the recreational use and then an entirely different reason for medical marijuana. And many of these advocates for medical marijuana say that it reduces the use of prescription drugs and is a natural substitute for pain alleviation and is even safer than opiates. What do you say to those that argue that reasoning and that line of reasoning for medical marijuana?
Well, Ryan, there's a whole medical side to this argument, and I'm not a physician. I leave that side of the debate to the physicians. I can tell you that a lot of people in Kansas, when they listen to the argument about how this is just humane, it's just the ability to provide access to a medication to people that don't otherwise have it. A lot of folks don't realize that there are three FDA-regulated medications on the market that your physician can prescribe to you today if your physician believes that you would benefit from being able to take THC. Those medications are out there, and pain physicians who specialize in pain management can prescribe those today. They're widely available. And so I understand the folks who think that this has a medicinal purpose and that this is humane, but the fact is that's already been covered, right? Those medications are already out there. What is in my wheelhouse is the criminal justice ramifications of legalization. And to me, if you look around the country and if you look objectively, don't let the agenda drive your view of what's happening, but look objectively, what you find is increase in black market, increase in crime rate, increase in opioid use, opioid overdoses, and opioid deaths. Yeah. The final statistical correlation that's out there that I would think we would be something that we could all coalesce around is the fact that there is a statistical correlation between increased THC use by our youth and increased mental illness. Yeah. Again, I would think that one thing we could all agree on is we don't want to make something more available to our kids if it's going to hurt them. And marijuana has consistently been shown to do that.
Well, again, this is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty. I'm on with Tony Mativi, director of the KBI. I want to take that down another level, Tony. I would admit that for many years, I was rather libertarian on this topic, and there's a lot of liberty-minded people that listen to this show. In my mind, I reasoned that, hey, you know, I believe that alcohol has a greater impact on this community and the addictive components of alcohol. But now that I've been in this job and I hear from people like you and I hear from our sheriff about what's happening in this community, and this isn't the pot that our parents smoked in the 60s and 70s, right? You mentioned that some of this is inducing not just the crime rings and the black market, but this is also inducing psychosis. Can you tell us a little bit about why the pot that is on the streets, the marijuana that we're dealing with today, is different and why it has different effects than what we may have traditionally believed it to have?
Sure. You know, when I grew up in the 70s and 80s and marijuana was fairly prevalent, but the marijuana that existed then was very different from the marijuana that exists today. The marijuana today isn't the 7% ditch weed that was available, you know, back in the 70s and 80s. The stuff that's being grown, the stuff that's being diverted from legitimate markets into the black market, all of that is very high concentration THC. And we're just now starting to see the studies that show how bad that is for people, how bad it is for your brain, especially how bad it is for the developing teenage brain. That's the big difference. But again, you know, that's really not my wheelhouse. I leave that to the physicians to debate. You know, when we offered opposition testimony to Senate Bill 555, the medical aspect of it was handled by Dr. Eric Voth. Eric dealt with addiction medicine and family practice for many, many years. And the statistics that he can cite over and over again for how bad this is for a brain, especially a developing brain, I find all of that very, very compelling. But again, I choose to focus on what happens with crime. One of the representatives, as I was leaving my testimony against Senate Bill 555, asked me, let's say just for the sake of discussion that it was legalized, what would be the impact on the KBI? And the answer is, I don't know. I can't give you a specific number, but I can tell you that we're already underfunded. We're already under-resourced when it compares to the demands that we have from our constituents and our customers. If we have to layer on top of that, fighting the organized crime that we know from experience is going to come into this state if we legalize, I hate to think what I'm going to have to divert resources away from in order to focus on these crimes. It means our agents, who right now, as an example, have been involved in the investigation in Southwest Kansas involving the two missing women. In the future, am I going to have to say no to that kind of a request from OSBI? You know, am I going to have to decrease the number of agents I have working on internet crimes against children in order to focus on Chinese organized crime that's pervading the marijuana market in Kansas? Those are the decisions that I hope I don't have to make down the road, because we really should be saying no to this attempt to legalize marijuana.
Well, Tony, you make a compelling case, as always. And I'll just tell you that we're incredibly grateful to have someone of your experience in the role at KBI. I appreciate you joining us tonight. If folks want to connect with you, or if they want more information on the KBI and what you do in that agency, they can visit kansas.gov/KBI. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a lot of information available on the web. And Ryan, thanks for doing this. It's wonderful to be able to speak with you. And I see you've got a great fallback job here.
Yeah. For you. Well, I don't think John's going to give this job up anytime soon, but Director Mativi.
Hey there. Don't give him any ideas, Tony. Don't give him any ideas.
Director, you and I were running a campaign about the same time, and we cross paths a lot, and I'm just so impressed with everything you bring to the table. We're grateful to have you in this state. We're grateful to have you at the KBI. We appreciate you joining us this evening, sir.
Thanks for the invitation, Ryan. Hey, Ryan, I know Sheriff Easter is going to be on a little bit later. I know this isn't your topic, but if you have a minute and want to solicit the thoughts of a very experienced, very thoughtful, very respected law enforcement leader, You might give Jeff an opportunity just to weigh in on this as well.
Very good. I think we probably do it. Appreciate you, Director Matibi.
There you go. All right.
Okay, thanks, we'll be taking your calls at 8:45. Take a quick break, and then, as forementioned, Sheriff Jeff Easter will be with us to discuss the plans for the South Central Regional Psychiatric Hospital and why he says the new facility is essential. Again, this is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John this evening. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be right back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for the man himself, John Whitmer. This segment of the John Whitmer Show sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit americansforprosperity.org. And if you ever miss a guest or want to hear an interview again, the Odyssey app lets you jump back into the moments you missed. Just download the free Odyssey app, search the John Whitmer Show, and tap earlier today to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. The state of Kansas and Sedgwick County are constructing a 50-bed mental health hospital in Sedgwick County. This hospital will be a secure place for adults in mental health crisis who are unfit to stand trial. A regional mental health hospital fits the state's strategy to provide care to Kansans closer to home. With us now to tell us more about the project is the man himself, Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. Sheriff Easter, thanks for joining us.
Good evening, Commissioner. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, so this hospital, we're talking 50 beds up to 100. You're on the governor's advisory board. You've been in this conversation from jump. Folks need to understand what this is. What is this hospital, and what will it do?
So this hospital is like the other two state hospitals, one located in Osawatomie and the other located in Larned. The only folks that will be admitted into the hospital are the care and treatment patients, which are court-ordered individuals that have to be placed into a mental health hospital. So that will be part of the hospital. The second part of the hospital is individuals that are in the custody of the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office that a judge has determined needs to have a competency evaluation done to be able to stand trial. And then at that point, they will figure out after the competency evaluation if they need restoration. So we would transfer our inmates that fit that criteria into the custody of the Secretary of KDADS for them to receive that evaluation and treatment. And then once they're restored, they're placed back into my custody to stand trial. So that would be the other part of the hospital.
Okay. So roughly 50% is going to be a hospital. The other 50%, those that are standing, waiting to stand trial, they need the evaluation. Is this a jail, Sheriff? I mean, should we consider this a jail?
Well, it's going to have to be. Yeah, it's it has to be built like a jail, because these folks has to be secure and can't folks escape from it, those type of things, because it's our prisoners that are in there. But it's not a typical jail setting. They're actually receiving care and treatment for their mental health issue. And so this is where those folks belong until they can be restored and then back into our custody to face trial and proceed in the criminal justice system.
Okay. Let's talk about the bottleneck that we're experiencing at Sedgwick County Jail. And you talk about this frequently. So 50% of these beds are going to be for those that are waiting for psychiatric evaluation so they can stand trial. How many estimate do you have in the jail right now? And what's the average stay and the length of time? Why is this project necessary? When I talk to my constituents, they want to know, why do we need this? Why do we need to make this investment? How many of these people do you have sitting in your jail now? How long do they wait?
So right now, the new hospital is slated to have 25 beds. We currently have 28 individuals awaiting to go to Larned. So we're already three over of what those 25 beds can hold. Our average wait is right around 200 days, but we've had people in there over 500 days. That I have one person right now that's been waiting to go to Larned. So what this does is it creates another avenue for folks to go into psychiatric care to be evaluated and restored and back into the criminal justice system a lot quicker. It also frees up bed space for Western Kansas because we occupy a lot of that bed space when it comes to prisoners that have to be evaluated and restored. The other side of the hospital, the wait times for osteotomy can be up to 30 days for folks that are not in custody, but they've been court ordered to have to be committed for psychiatric evaluation and restoration. And so roughly 28% of that population comes from the city of Wichita. And so once this hospital is built, it will free up bed space for the rest of the eastern part of the state because folks around South Central Kansas and Sedgwick County would be going to this hospital. So it's a win-win for the state of Kansas. That's why the legislators made the decision to spend that kind of money. And our mental health system is overloaded, and it was time that we built another hospital to for these folks to get better treatment in a timely manner and to create space for the rest of the state of Kansas to receive the same type of treatment in a quicker manner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, Sheriff. You know, in this project, it's going to be funded through a combination of federal funding. The county has a SPARK grant for $25 million. It'll be used at this project. And then the rest of it is state. It is a state psychiatric hospital. There's no local tax dollars that are going to be used here. So, again, this is Commissioner Ryan Beatty. I'm talking to Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. Sheriff, I got you here. I got to ask. I want to talk long-term. You helped us understand the psychiatric hospital. I need you to help us understand crime in this community. These growing crime trends, we can't arrest our way out of this problem, can we? What do we do here with behavioral health, substance abuse? What do we do in this community? Every day we wake up, there's a new story of violent crime. What do we do, Sheriff?
Yeah, unfortunately, in city of Wichita, as you know, I was a Wichita police officer and retired there as a captain. So we would see those cyclical trends take place. It started in the 90s with the crack cocaine epidemic, the gang influence that came here to Wichita. Police department would react to the crime, do some proactive stuff. A lot of community policing drove down the crime, but it really didn't drive down the real problem, which is we have a lot of people addicted to drugs in this community and in the United States of America. And when that demand is so high, that's why the supply is so high coming in here. And so for years, we've been trying to arrest ourselves out of this drug problem that we have. And we now are in 2024, and we have a new drug that's hit, which is fentanyl, which is worse than anything else that we've ever seen because it's actually killing people. And we have a lot of people addicted to fentanyl. And part of the problem with that is that, you know, first-time offenders just for simple drug possession, I mean, they're in and out of jail within an hour or two. There's because it takes us 3 to 6 months to get the drugs tested. We have to charge somebody in custody. It has to be within 72 hours. We don't get the drug testing back. And so it's just cyclical. These folks come in nonstop on drug charges and right back out until the DA can get them charged. But even then, it's diversion or probation because of the sentencing guidelines that we have here in the state of Kansas. The problem with that is that when they get back out, I mean, they got to support their habit somehow. So that's why you see property crimes going up. Most of the violent crime that we're having is drug related. And so we have to figure out, at least with on the end user part, just the user's aspect is all I'm talking about, is we have to figure out a different way to get them into treatment because they're not going to go to prison. And so that's the next thing that we have to really start working on is that kind of thinking on it. I'm not talking about people that commit other crimes plus are drug addicted. No, they need to go to jail and they need to, you know, go through the criminal justice system and found guilty, go to prison. I mean, I'm still a tough on crime kind of person, but I've just seen it over the years with the drug abuse. Those folks aren't going to prison. They're coming right back into the community and re-victimizing.
Right. That's right.
So we got to figure out another way to get them not addicted anymore and back being productive members of society instead of a criminal element.
Yeah. Well, Sheriff, I tell people to hear you clearly when you talk on this issue. I think that you're really leading in this way and for what we need to do to really attack this problem as a community. I tell people all the time, I think you got the toughest job in the entire county. And here you are, man, on a Sunday evening, you're busy and you've given us some time tonight to talk and to walk us through the hospital and to walk us through your opinions on how we attack this crime issue. Sheriff, you know, I appreciate you greatly, man. I really, really do. And I appreciate you taking time to visit with us tonight.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
Okay. We'll talk soon. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we return, since the legislature's on break, we get a local government update from Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock. Again, this is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John this evening. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Sponsored by Week Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. This is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John this evening. I want to remind you that you can always listen to us by downloading the Odyssey app or telling your smart speaker to play KNS Radio. You'll find podcast link to all our previous episodes there. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you in chat. Each week during the legislative session, John will bring in an update from Topeka on the latest bills and activity from our state capitol. But since the legislature's out and they're on break, we get the local government update from Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock. Dalton, thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm glad to be on this side of the microphone this week and not guest hosting. So you have a hard job today, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun, though, man. You did a great job. So tell us, man, you're almost 100 days in to this position. Now, you've been around the local government, local politics scene for a long time, but give us an update, man. How's the first 100 days going for you?
I think you can echo this. Every day in local government is busy, and every day is different. You never know what's going to be on your agenda, which I find exhilarating, and I've enjoyed my entire first 100 days, and I'm looking forward to the next 100 days and the good things we can do. A lot of it, you know, is trying to meet with the department heads, trying to understand the functions of the city so we can make better decisions on the council. And I've really enjoyed working with all my colleagues as well.
There's only one thing he doesn't like. That's certain individuals on his district advisory board that he's saddled with.
Oh, goodness.
I came on because I didn't think John was going to be on.
Yeah, he's saddled with me. Blue Ball appointed me to the DAB just in time, you know, to stick me with Dalton.
I'm sorry, Dalton.
Yeah, poor guy.
I'm sorry, bud. Well, hey, listen, the budget's a big conversation every year, and How are we stacking up in Wichita? What do you see as some challenges going into 2025 budget?
I mean, we're facing a lot of challenges and a lot of hard decisions will be made. And I'm hoping as a council, we begin to make those decisions this year and not wait until next year or wait until even later this year and start making the tough decisions now. I mean, the city's facing a multi-million dollar budget deficit in the years to come. And we're going to have to make tough decisions because we are already, you know, our citizens, and you talk about this often, are strapped with taxes already. And so how can we streamline services? How can we make government more efficient and serve people while also doing the basic functions of government, which is public safety and infrastructure? So tough decisions will have to be made in the coming months and over the next year.
Yeah. You know, we had an en banc, what, 2 weeks ago. This is where the city of Wichita and Sedgwick County comes together. I felt it was productive. I thought it was a good conversation. We talked a lot about what functional consolidation looks like, primarily at Parks and Rec, but we also talked about some other opportunities. Your experience is unique, Dalton, because you spent a little time at the county. So you've been on both sides of the aisle. What are your takeaways from that en banc? What opportunities do you see we have in future partnership with the City of Wichita, Sedgwick County government? You know where I stand on this, but give us your take. Is this where we need to head? Is reform an opportunity on your side of the aisle?
I'm incredibly hopeful for the conversations. Having worked at both the county, the city, and also the federal government, I understand that our constituents often don't know the differences between what each level of government does. And it's our job to make the process more efficient where we can and hopefully make it easier for people to access. And so I think Parks and Recreation is a great starting place for this conversation. I think it makes sense. When I was on the campaign trail, people didn't even know we had two different Parks and Recreation Department. When they're going to Sedgwick County Park, they don't care if it's Sedgwick County managing or the city of Wichita. When they go to Pawnee Prairie Park, they don't care who manages it. They just want good park system, and they want their local government to work for them. And so I think it's a common sense solution, and I hope that this is just the start of other functional consolidation that we can look at in the future as well.
Well, you know, you got a partner over on my side of the street at the county. Let's talk about some things that have been in the news here recently for Wichita. I noticed that the social media influencer conversation came up. Now, I've known you for several years now, Dalton. You're very active on social media. You work really hard to be able to communicate to the community and your constituents. City of Wichita's use of social media influencers, is the cost worth it?
100%. There is not a doubt in my mind that we're spending money well when we're using social media influencers. In terms of how we reach people, we have to be innovative, and we have to realize that people aren't just consuming traditional media sources like print media or TV. For example, our most recent video that went viral on TikTok had over 2.7 million impressions last I had seen. When you calculate that out, it's 0.00005 for a cost per impression. That is a good use of money to be able to let people know the programs. I guarantee you that most of the individuals, and I've had at least four individuals this week that come up to me randomly to say that they didn't know that they can report potholes in the city. And so information like that is useful, it works, and it makes sure that we serve our citizens better. So I hope that the city doubles down on these efforts and continues to use influencers and continues to use all media. We can't expect people to come to us. We have to go to them. And so we have to be innovative in how we do it and try to figure out unique ways to reach people, because people consume information in a whole host of different mediums. And honestly, people's attention spans are very low. And so how can you get information to them quickly and information that they can synthesize and find useful?
Well, you and I both talk frequently about what it looks like to modernize local government. And I would agree. I think this is a practical, very fruitful way to reach our constituents and those in this community. Let's talk homelessness, Dalton. City of Wichita investing $5 million towards affordable housing. That's just one part of the ecosystem of the homelessness conversation. Obviously, the City of Wichita is leading on what's called the MAC, the Multi-Agency Center. I've been hand-in-hand with you guys on this process and working the best we can from the county side to support your efforts. Where are we at in this thing? Where are we at in homelessness? Do you see this as a big problem? And what are the solutions moving forward?
100%. And I'm thankful for the work that you've done leading on homelessness in our community. I think you, not just saying that, I would say this to anybody as well, but I think the innovative approach of bringing people from the county, the city, and also the state together to have a joint conversation is how we solve this issue. It's not just a City of Wichita issue. If you're homeless in Mays, if you're homeless in Goddard, if you're homeless in Cheney, you're not staying in those communities. You're coming to Wichita. And if you're homeless in Western Kansas, you're not staying there. You're coming to Wichita. And so we have to have a comprehensive approach to be able to handle this. My primary role and function as a city council member is to make sure that we enforce our laws. And it is not acceptable for people to live on the streets. It's not acceptable for the person living on the streets and it's not acceptable for the businesses and individuals that are trying to use our public amenities. And so from a city side, enforcement of our laws is my number one priority. And how can we come along with our partners and the community to make sure that we help people through the system into more independent living situations? Because, I mean, that's our end goal. But we also do have to make sure that we're balancing that with enforcement as well.
Yeah, well, you're spot on, bud. Spot on. I love these local government updates. Next week, back with Under the Dome, Speaker Hawkins will be here to preview the veto session. Dalton, if folks want to connect with you, they can find you. You're easy to find, bud. You're always at daltonglasscock.com, correct? And we can see you on social media everywhere.
Correct, for sure. And enjoy the rest of the time with John. Keep him in line.
Yeah. Well,
hey, Dalton, real quick, I want to let you plug. I saw you had Todd Starnes in town this week. You had a great event. Thank you, by the way, for swinging by the KNSS, the Odyssey event that we had last week. And kudos to you and Todd on the new book.
Well, thank you very much. And anybody can go to toddstarnes.com and get Twilight's Last Gleaming.
Yeah. Dalton, appreciate working with you. Appreciate you coming on this evening. We'll chat again soon. A lot of work to do together.
See you, Ryan.
This is Ryan Beatty filling in for the John this evening at the John Whitmer Show. We'll take a quick break. And I want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. Finish the night with a good chat. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Taking a quick break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. This is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John this evening. Make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. From breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radios in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow him on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on his show. And of course, give us a call tonight. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you and finish the night with some good discussion. Next week, as a reminder, the guest host is free market economist Michael Austin. We'll be a terrific show with Michael. And then Thursday, April 18th, Sedgwick County Republican Party is having their meeting. And we have with us right now the Sedgwick County Republican Chair, Deb Lucia. Deb, how you doing?
I'm fine, Ryan. How are you?
Things are good. Well, I'm hanging out with John Whitmer tonight in his studio, and you can only imagine. It's been a good night. We've had some good guests. What have you been working on over there at Sedgwick County Republican Party?
Well, we've got a nice meeting coming up on Thursday. We are going to have the Speaker of the House, Jan Hawkins, is going to give us a legislative update, along with the Speaker Pro Tem, Blake Carpenter. So it'll be a really informative meeting for people to come to. One thing that we're working on very hard right now is getting people registered as precinct committee man or filing for precinct committee man and committee woman. We need people to file by June 3rd. That's the deadline this year at 12 noon. And they will then be on the ballot in the August primary. And so anybody that has thought about being a precinct person, or if you currently are a precinct person, this is a good reminder for you. We're trying to get those reminders out. People are filing, but they're filing not as fast as we would like them to. So please get your file for precinct committee man or committee woman turned in.
That's a good reminder, Deb. Yeah. My wife and I are both precinct people, and I had forgotten to file. So thank you for the reminder. That's actually good.
Well, Deb, one of the things I think so important and why this is important, not only for just what we're trying to do for the Republican Party here in Sedgwick County, but I remember as I campaigned, it was these precinct committee people. They had all my literature. They had all the yard signs. They coordinated meet and greets and their precincts. I mean, they play a pivotal role in getting good candidates elected.
So. I know if I were in your district, I'd be doing that for your opponent. I'd be working out. Yeah.
Deb, you see what it's been like all night.
All night.
Sure. I can just imagine.
But no, she's right. That is so important that we get the precinct committee, because that's the base of the grassroots right there.
It absolutely is.
That is the grassroots. Yep. And if you were to come Thursday to our meeting, which is at WABA, 7 p.m., Wichita Area Builders Association, we have a notary there. You could bring the form, get it notarized right there, and we'll get it turned in for you.
That's good. Well, Deb, you're doing a great job. We sure appreciate all the work you do. And Again, Thursday, April 18th, Sedgwick County Republican Party meeting. Doors open at 6:30. Meeting starts at 7 p.m. And you got Speaker of the House and Speaker Pro Temp there. It should be a great meeting.
Deb, real quick, what's the website if folks want information again?
For the to get your form?
For the party, for the Sedgwick County Republican
Party. The Sedgwick County Republican Party is just sedgwick.gop.
Yeah, very good. Deb, always fun to chat. We really appreciate you. Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thank you. Have a great evening. Thank you very much.
Okay. Also got another caller on here. Nick, how you doing? What do you want to chat about?
Yes, sir. Very well. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, faith, family, and freedom are important. And anything that we put above Jesus is going to cause us problems for America or for our individuals. Now, having said that, we should pray for Israel, too. I've come to the conclusion that the true menace when it comes to cannabis, a.k.a. marijuana or hemp, are those who forget, deny, or subvert our agreed-upon rules of historic constitutionality. This constitutionality was and is built on the foundation of the Declaration of Independence, says we have natural rights endowed by our Creator to be defended by the people's elected representatives for all generations. Now, when the federal government prohibited a plant that has very robust protein profile, industrial uses, and therapeutic health maintenance properties, including anti-inflammation, we have gone outside those boundaries, and there is a need to redress this grievance. Now, our society is bombarded with marketing that screams, feed your children sugar cereals, Adderall, and ultra-processed foods. Politics, though it seems, is as politics does. And the current attempt to label cannabis as a menace does not hold water when compared to non-scheduled drugs like sugar, caffeine, alcohol, or tobacco. Cannabis liberty is not a catalyst of impending doom that is being propagated by armed executive agency prohibitionists that use deception and fear mongering as their tools.
All right, Nick, let me ask you this question. I'm gonna jump in here and ask you this question. You bring up and I think Tony mentioned. Well, actually, you mentioned Ryan. You mentioned ditchweed.
Yeah.
The analogy I always used to use is that today's marijuana isn't Willie Nelson's marijuana. So, Nick, here's my question for you. You mentioned cannabis as a natural, holistic product, seed that grows, right? That's how you – I know because you and I have had this conversation before. That's how you refer to it, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The stuff they're selling today, is that a natural little weed, little plant, little seed, or has it been – dramatically, chemically altered, treated, and amplified, because what they're selling today is not Cheech and Chong's marijuana anymore. And that's why I think so many in law enforcement are saying it's a menace to society. Because if it was ditchweed, it would be one thing, but it's not. It's a gummy that has been chemically altered and is now appealing to children.
I am for a Controlled Substances Act, and I support a hard-on-crime approach when it comes to the possession, manufacture, distribution of synthetic substances like fentanyl, methamphetamine, and, yes, synthetic cannabinoids like those currently being sold in cannabis dispensaries.
Okay, so your position then is minimum basic pot that grows in the ground, that, you know, Jimmy Joe Bob wants to grow himself a weed and smoke it in the backyard, you don't have an issue with. But you do support the idea of limiting any of the marijuana that is cultivated and then chemically enhanced and altered.
Absolutely. There is an image of a person on our Kansas state flag who is plowing a field and getting ready to plant a seed. The people of Kansas do not need more diagnoses, restrictions, regulations, fees, fines, or laws. We the people need our elected officials to do what they swore or affirmed to do, and that is defend the Constitution and our natural rights, which includes constitutional cannabis. All the synthetic stuff, take them down, put them in jail.
Wow, Nick, look at that. I you actually came further than I thought you would. I appreciate the call.
Pretty persuasive, John.
I didn't know about that, but I say, Nick, the thing I love about Nick is he's reasonable.
Yeah.
He's reasonable.
Well, I told you. I mean, I've come a long way on this issue in many regards. Yeah,
I think it helps that we're sitting in here eating marijuana-laced gummies and brownies.
John, I think my wife's listening to the show. We don't want to put this kind of... No chance. Hey, man, I've enjoyed this. I really have.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, this is good. Anytime we can get together and have conversations, the topics we had on from Paula, Dan, Tony, Sheriff Easter, Councilmember Glasscock, they're great, man.
Love you, brother. You did a great job.
Yeah, carry on, fellow deplorables.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.